Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Sunday, October the 30th, 2022. And I want to bring up the fact that tomorrow's Halloween. The big human sacrifices will be going on all over the planet. It's one of their biggest days for the Satanist. So you want to pray against it and ask in the name of Jesus and by his blood to stay the executioner and to bring judgment on the executioners. To get rid of them. With that said, I have Professor Joe on with me, and I'm honored to have him on. Now, Joe found something that's very important. I want to read to you. It's a human sacrifice. It's 150,000 Jews gather in Chicago for child sacrifice ritual. First president of Israel in attendance. Now, remember, Israel didn't become a nation until 1947. When they declared themselves, and the UN declared in 48 that they were a nation. Now it says July the 3rd, 1933, over 100,000 Jews gathered at Soldier Field in Chicago to celebrate 3,000 years of Jewish history and nationalhood by worshiping a fire-breathing statue of Moloch and feeding it children, which we can only hope were not real. The event was called The Romance of a People. It was organized by the Zionist Organization of America, sponsored by the Jewish Agency for Palestine, and produced by Meyer Weisengal, W-E-I-S-G-A-L, with help from Rabbi Solomon Goldman, as well as Maurice Samuel, the author of You Gentiles. One of the big speakers at the event was none other than Cham Wiseman, first president of Israel, and the guy who, alongside Lion Walter Rothschild, authored the Balfour Declaration, which was the agreement that dragged the U.S. into the World War I in exchange for the British stealing Palestine from Ottoman Turkey and allowing Jews to settle there. Anyway, I'll have the video up with this radio show here today. With that said, Professor Joe, how are you today, and what's the latest?
All right, there'll be three topics. One is the Nancy Pelosi, Paul Pelosi event in San Francisco, and an article published by Alexis Jonas, excellent researcher, on the issue concerning the One Belt Road system, Putin, and what is going to happen to Russia. And then, of course, then this video, a film that was taken and then transferred into video format, which took place in 1933 at Chicago's Soldier Field. And what you see in it is that you see a bunch of dancers coming in, and behind it is a statue of Moloch. Then you see a bunch of Israeli flags and a bunch of dancers, and then you see a kid being thrown into this idol called Moloch. And this is referencing back to what is called the Rosenthal letter interview, of where Walter White interviewed Harold Rosenthal, the then administrator of Senator Jacob Javits, in which at the conclusion of the interview, where Harold Rosenthal stated, "Your God is not my God." And Harold Rosenthal continued and said, "Our God is Lucifer." He said, "Most Jews do not know that, but the higher echelon supremacists do." And that is the meaning of that statue coming in at Soldier's Field. All right, now let's shoot over real quick to Jonas Alexis's article on Putin, the One Belt Road System, and the neocons. What is happening is that you have the road that goes from China to the West. It's called the Old Silk Road trading route that was discovered by Marco Polo way back. Bring forward today, and you have what is called the One Belt Road System that is being developed by these Jews to right, to maximize the wealth, the potential wealth of Eurasia, in which 75% of the world's wealth exists in that area. Now, essentially, I've described before where you had a schismatic of a flower, one petal pointed towards China, one petal pointed towards Russia, the other pointed to the south, which was Africa, and then in the middle was Israel. But what was not totally explained is its open operation. And going back as far back as the big Brzezinski and others who were at the time in control of the Department of State, which today it's controlled by the neocons who brought us back to Iraq. So essentially what it comes down to summarize what the article says, is that these neocons want to split Russia up into three areas. In other words, what they want is that they want the Russian Empire dissolved into three areas in which the Russians would not have any hegemony in this area called Eurasia. Now, the lead on this is the Victoria Nuland crowd called the neocons. All of them are Jews, and all of them are Trotskyites. And what they want is that they want the ability to control the world. And the way to do it is to control Central Asia and all of the mineral wealth that exists there, and do so by increments. And this is the reason for the Ukraine. And what they want to do is, and what they are doing, these neocons, is to poke the bear. That means to agitate Russia and to drag them into a costly war. And they're doing this by posting NATO on the front door of Russia. And as Putin says, hey, what do you expect for me to do if you come onto my porch? What am I going to do? I can't let you stay there on the porch. I have to defend my country. And this is exactly what is going on now in the Ukraine. So, again, it points to dissolving Russia into the Asian part. The other part is the Europe part, and then the other part is Crimea. And by dissolving this area, the Russian bear will no longer have hegemony in Eurasia. And essentially, it means that Russia goes to make part of what we call the One Belt Road system. So, regardless of the opinion on Putin, is that they want to drag the war, drag Russia into a costly war and break it down so that then these neocons would have control over this entire area because the Russian Empire would no longer be in existence. So let's take it over forward to what about China? It's the same thing with China. The Chinese do not work independently of these billionaire Jewish bankers. They control China. Make no mistake about it. They control China. So when you see this thing about whether Tucker Carlson or some of these other conservatives who say it's all China, yes, but who's behind China? And I guarantee you it is big Jewish billionaires, the same bankers that have brought all wars behind the scenes in Russia. And they'll be able to control Russia because all they got to do just pull the plug on the banking system of China, and China will crash. It's called the Babylonian banking system. You know it as the Federal Reserve. That Federal Reserve system is worldwide. It creates money out of thin air. And when you control the pocketbook, as Amsal Rothschild says, I care not who and what. If I control the money, I control it all. And that's the story of what is happening in the Ukraine. They're dragging Russia into these costly wars to bring it down into a three-part system. So as you view the coming days, as you and I have said, is somebody going to make a mistake? Because the State Department has already said in our foreign policy, if we need to, we may use tactical nukes in a non-nuclear situation. In other words, they're referring to the strategic point of where you don't bomb the enemy's country, but you bomb certain strategic targets.
Such as,
they have already done this because they used a lot of, they used over 50 tactical nukes in Iraq. They've already done it. So, in the coming days, is somebody going to make a mistake?
They made a big
push the wrong button.
Joe,
and what does that mean? That means all of a sudden it articulates all the way up into the strategic level of where Putin says, that's it, boom.
Now, I know because I got it from a spook, that we did the pipeline over there in that sea, blew it up, that natural gas line. It's feeding over to Germany and over to Europe in different places, other countries. And that was a huge loss to Russia. We also hit that bridge with a tactical nuke. And this is coming out of the United States, folks. This is your Biden administration and this vice president who is not even a U.S. legal citizen, who had a white, her father owned a white slave farm, I believe it was in Jamaica. She's a former prostitute who became an attorney who became the United States vice president illegally, not even a citizen. Now, these are the people and these idiots at the State Department. They want all this to be a nuclear exchange, don't they, Joe?
Well, again, this is where Jonas Alexis clarified it. What they want is a dissolution of the Russian Empire. In other words, my thinking is that they don't want to take it up to the strategic level. In other words, where there is an exchange of ICBMs between Russia and the United States. I think they want to keep it out of that area. But they want to keep it into a certain area where it becomes a costly war for Russia to dissolve the Russian Empire. That's what they want.
Now,
this is what you and I have discussed. Is somebody going to make a mistake and carry it too far and not control it? Well, because once you push that button, you can't bring it back. That's what all of the strategic level leaders in this kind of warfare say. Once you push the button, you can't bring it back.
And as Otis Johnson, 007 Super Spook, my friend who's now dead, that worked for General Flynn, was murdered 2 weeks before General Flynn was fired as national security, Trump's national security, because of the fake stuff that they brought against him. And Powell, the attorney, cleared him. But as Otis said, when they had him on the phone at the NSA with President Putin, Putin warned the United States you'd do another gas attack upon Syria. And he says, I will drop a nuke in the Azar Fault off the coast of New York that would create a tidal wave, hit the United States from Maine to Florida, and it would go 1,800 feet tall, and it would go all the way to the Midwest. Now, second thing, Otis had told me, a Russian sub, it was on national news, and I called him up about it. They got a stealth sub. They have several of them. Stealth, like we have stealth fighter jets. You can't see them. They sat down in the Gulf of Mexico after the oil spill for 6 months underwater. Then they popped up near Miami in international water to intentionally get the U.S. attention. And they told them, we've been sitting down in your Gulf for 6 months. You didn't even see us. That's how serious it is. Now, folks, if they hit a nuke down there on that fault line in the four corners of Missouri, down there, Arkansas, Tennessee, Illinois, and Missouri, that shakes. That's a fault line. It shakes at around 3.5. You can see it up on the USGS.gov site every day. Gas was leaking up into Tennessee from that oil spill that went clear out into the Gulf. That wraps around that vein artery of oil, wraps clear around the southern tip of Florida, and it comes straight east or west. And it was out there where they were pumping the oil out of the ocean. What they burns off the top is methane gas and another deadly gas. And if you breathe it, you're dead. That's what they pump out of the oil. That oil pipeline, or that artery, went right up the Mississippi to the four corners of Missouri there. The fault line. Now, if they hit that, that's going to open up the Great Lakes, will it not, Joe?
Well, okay, let's go over this for the folks. There's two major fault lines. The San Andreas Fault Line, which is in California. Then you have this Madras Fault Line, which follows the line of the Mississippi. Now, what Stu was talking about, there is an active volcano in that Four Corners area. And what was bothering people with the BP oil spill is that there is a salt dome that contains this methane gas. And if that salt dome would break down for whatever reason, that methane gas would follow the lines of least resistance and work its way all the way up to this Four Corners area. And once that hits, it would then set up a chain reaction of epic proportions, which would cause and activate possibly the Madras Fault Line.
Now, Joe, they closed down a county in Tennessee up there in the corner because methane gas was seeping up out of the Mississippi River, and they were afraid to blow the whole thing. So they bought everybody's property. They got U.S. troops around here, National Guard, whichever it is down there. And they won't let anybody into that area because methane gas is coming up out of the area. And they were afraid that somebody's like hot water tank or they lit a match, light a cigarette, or lighting a barbecue grill and go kaboom and it'd be the end. So I just want people to be aware of that. This is how deadly this gas is.
I think the issue is, yes, it is the gas. But it's what the gas explosion will cause, which is the activation of the San Andreas, the Madras Fault Line.
It's the New Madrid, they call it down there.
And once it starts shaking and rattling and rolling, absolute destruction. Could it be then causing an emptying of the Great Lakes into the Mississippi? Those are the things that the Madras Fault Line would cause.
Now,
set off by the methane gas.
And it created a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico, killed a lot of fish, drove a lot of sharks out of there, etc. And Deborah Dupree, she wrote a book about all the women who had miscarriages, around 6,000 of them, who were eating fish out of the Gulf after that oil spill. Just thought I'd bring that up. It wasn't by coincidence that they had 6,000 miscarriages all along the Gulf.
What did it do was using the Koretsk. In other words, they wanted the oil to stay below the surface so that the public would not hold BP accountable. And what happened is that the Kareta forms a gas. Yes, the methane gas did do certain damages, but the biggest part was what the Kareta did. And what they do is that when there's an oil spill, they'll put Kareta on it. And the Kareta will just keep it just below the surface. And then you have these sweepers, these gigantic tankers, sweepers, come by and suck up the oil and separate it from the water.
And I saw BP, British Petroleum, I saw their next quarter statement. They had 333,000% increase in revenue that they did not have to pay from all that oil that they sucked up a 10-year supply. And they paid no income tax on that. They put it in reserve. But go ahead, Joe.
So then there is, now let's go back over this again so that people get what we're saying here. What would happen if these neocons, in their thrust to bring down the Russian Empire through wars, what if it would jump from a tactical nuke to a strategic nuke? And once that strategic nuke takes off, that's where Russia bombs the United States. The United States bombs Russia. That's called the strategic level. What would happen if they lose control of the tactical level by keeping by allowing that war to expand out of the Ukraine? All right, now let's jump over to the San Andreas fault line. What would happen if you have one of the things that Putin will do is it's not a bombing here, bombing there, it's already set up using atomic bombs on the different military and strategic places. What if they bomb California and that sets off the San Andreas fault?
Then you're looking at Yellowstone. It's been shaking, rattling, and rolling. It's a volcano underneath there.
Let's comment on that. I know, because I saw a map on it, there are a lot of ice. There are ICBM bases in Montana. And that'll be one of the strategic targets that'll be hit with missiles. Now, right there close by at Glacier National Park, of course, is the Great Caldera, which is a set of three or four volcanoes. And this is where Otis told Stu, if that thing goes off, get as far as you can south because there will be ash everywhere.
He said 12 feet of ash would hit Denver, Colorado and kill everybody, smothering to death.
Now again, this goes back to what Jonas Alexis was saying in his article, which the theme is, by these neocons, Wolfowitz, Pearl, etc., who are Trotskyites and they're Jews, they control the State Department. They are the ones that are having all these armaments shipped to the Ukraine. Which, by the way, only 30%, writers are saying only 30% are really going to the Ukrainian army. 30%, that's it. The rest is going into the black market.
And usually the black market's being bought by Israel.
Usually. And again, now this will jump over here. This is where Biden and Hunter Biden made all of their millions of dollars of going into this illicit trade over in the Ukraine. Well, that's what Paul Pelosi is all about. And supposedly, a burglar got into the Pelosi house and beat up Paul with a hammer. Well, the story has finally come out is that the police arrived doing a wellness check and caught the guy as Paul Pelosi and him were fighting over the hammer. Now, come on, folks. You're going to get past the Pelosi security? No. And Michael Hoffman in his newsletter came out and made his prediction that there would be an event put on by what he calls the cryptocracy that would have an event, pull attention away and sympathy for the Democrat Party.
Now, there's a high probability we may get hit before the election. And the election's around the corner. Now, we have something coming up on the 31st called Halloween. It's a huge, huge celebration by the Satanists, killing babies, animal sacrifices, drinking its blood, and the blood of babies. I've got a cartoon I'm going to put up. A friend of mine sent it to me. It says, it shows a kid with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and a set of sunglasses on and a bottle of wine in his hand, and he's naked. His mother's sitting there with a clothes basket full of clothes, and she screams, "No, you can't be Hunter Biden for Halloween." I'll put it on my site today so everybody can see it. Maybe pass it around. But Joe, what do you do on Halloween? I'm doing the same thing you do and your crew does. What do you do on Halloween?
Well, specifically on Halloween is that, like you say, this is a time when the Satanists take advantage, and I've talked about this many times, they just don't sacrifice to sacrifice. They sacrifice to influence the ley lines that are around the world. And that then influences the rest of the people in the world. And the person that talked on this was Jay Parker, who came out of Arden, Delaware, and its sister city, which is in Rose Valley. Both of those townships are founded by Satanists. And there is the Arcadian ley line that runs between the two cities in which they do their special rituals to influence that ley line. And by the way, that is where Area 51 scientists met the alien at what they call the Temple of the Moon, Temple of the Sun, which is outside of Mexico City, where the Aztecs did all of their sacrifices. The Arcadian ley line runs right through it.
That's where he made a loaf of bread-sized metal, folks, at Papoose Lake, Nevada, where he was a scientist working for the aliens, answering to the 12 disciples of Satan, primarily Meyer Rothschild. But Ed was the one that put the module on the moon, credited for it. He was in Kennedy Space Center at the time. I got 6 tapes on him up there. I'm going to make sure that they're lit up under a new section of my site called Blast from the Past. There's some really heavyweights that are in there. Several of them are dead now, whistleblowers and others. But Ed said he made his loaf of bread out of element 115, the robotoids are made out of, mu metal. Element 116, 117, and 118, which is 118 Napoleon, they made the flying saucers out of. And I do have a audio of John Lear before his death, and he admitted that his father took that in contract in 1952 to 59, built 150 flying saucers for the U.S. government. Now, that's element 118 Napoleon, top secret. He made that stuff, took it to that pyramid, met with the 7'6" Nordic looking character. Nobody was around. Usually the place is packed. He tells him to go out there. He said, "You bring me what you made me?" "Oh, yeah." He said, "Now go set it out there. I'll show you what you did." Set it out 50 yards. So he walks off 50 yards. He turns around and says, "Yeah, that's far enough. Come back here, Ed." He goes back. "Now turn around and look at me. I'll show you what you made me." All of a sudden, it turned into a flying saucer. He goes, "How'd you do that?" He turns it back to the loaf of bread and he says, "You can do it." He says, "Just close your eyes and start thinking it into a flying saucer." He says, "I can't do that." He says, "Try." Then he tells Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. Think over here. Think this way. Think that way. Now, Ed, look what you made. What he was doing is this fallen angel was reading his mind. Reading his mind, folks. They had that capability. And they took him out for a little joyride into outer space to see the Earth from outer space. He was the man, Kennedy Space Center, when they landed the module on the moon. And he said he was being congratulated and he didn't see any dust blow off the moon. He was a jet propulsion scientist. And he made it in 90 days for him, designed it. So he wanted to be, when the module landed in the Pacific Ocean, he wanted to be aboard the ship to examine the module. He did, and he said they used anti-gravity. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, now I want to clarify this for people. What is simply called the Satanic Holidays is really too much of a, it's really a generalization. All it is the four equinoxes and two solstices. The equinoxes are nothing more than when the Earth's energy is changed from spring to summer, summer to fall, fall to winter. The solstices are when the day becomes shorter and the night becomes longer. Then it switches over to where the day becomes longer and the night becomes shorter. All they're doing is taking advantage of Earth's natural energies for their own purposes. So to say that the solstice is a satanic holiday is a little bit incorrect, because it is really Earth's natural time of the seasonal change. And all they're doing again is taking advantage of those transfers of energy. Now let's go back over the topics again real quick, and then we'll bring the show to an end. There's one more thing that I have to say. Take a look at Whitney Webb and Unlimited Hangout, because she did a wonderful thing on the InSlaw. And we won't go into it now because we've done it before. But there is a real well investigative effort by Whitney Webb, who explained a lot about Epstein. And if you want to know who the truth is about Trump, go read those three articles and you will know exactly who Trump is. All right. So
now I want to add one thing to that. I know Bill Hamilton personally, and he was the designer of InSlaw. It's a software for prosecutors, as an example of someone who's robbing an SNL down here in Florida, and robbing one in Denver, and they couldn't nail them on one, they would have it in the system. And they sold it to the Justice Department, and the Justice Department turned around, never paid him the $200 million they owed him, and the whole bit, and there was congressional investigation on it, and hearings. Now, I know Bill, through Bill McCoy, who was Terry Reid, mine and others' good friend, Al Martin, etc., whistleblowers, who became a private investigator, etc. He was a Department of Defense Assistant Inspector General at one time. They murdered him over the Oklahoma City bombing book, which I'm written about in, and he is, Power of Politics, Oklahoma City Bombing, by, I forgot the author's name, but Bill Hamilton. I talked to him no more than about 2 years ago. If you punch in InSlaw on my website, you'll see a document referencing Israel. Now, Israel took that software, was sold, Daddy Bush sold it to him, was using it during Iran-Contra to keep track of all of his drug money, etc. But InSlaw became the Intel chip. Intel chip that's in all the computers and all the cell phones and so forth today. That's how they're listening to everyone, controlling everyone, able to know your location unless you got your chip out of your phone. It's the only way, and off, turned off. But this way they can monitor you, they can hear you, They can actually use your cell phone as a weapon against you or your computers, etc. I just want to bring that up because the intel is the old Inns law. Go ahead, Joe.
Right. So what you have here is Whitney Webb goes and does a wonderful job of telling that story. So you have, again, going over what the points we were talking about, why we had this talk, is that Jonas Alexis did a wonderful article on explaining what the story was concerning the Ukraine. In other words, the neocons, who are Trotskyites, want to dissolve the Russian Empire and bring about the One Belt Road system under their control. Okay? So now, the next thing, of course, is the Nancy Pelosi, and all that is cryptocracy pulling off a stunt to pull the attention away from the elections that are going to take place. So we'll leave it at that, Stu, and on Tuesday, give a listen, because Stu is going to bring on board Jim Fetzer, and these points are going to be covered again in depth by Jim.
Now, I want to bring up one thing that I never knew about, but recently a friend, CIA, told me about it. It's called SES, Senior Executive Service. They cannot be touched. They cannot be touched, folks. Nobody, no government will touch them at all. A fighter jet pilot named Field McConnell, sister, Field McConnell's supposedly famous, his sister, Christy, she ran a pig farm doing stuff videos in the UK, over in England. She ran and still is, and they do it, and they grind up the bodies of children after they're cutting their faces off like Hillary Clinton did, and other stuff. Hildebeest, I call Hillary, by the way. But she ran this stuff farm, still going on, pig farm, they call it, and they're killing humans, adults, children, babies, and they're actually grinding up and burying their bodies in many cases. But I thought this needs a lot of attention. It's called Senior Executive Service. Senior Executive Services. It needs to be taken care of. Someone worldwide needs to shut this thing down. Anyway, with that said, any last words, Joe?
That's it. I think we need to close it down.
Okay, folks, remember Halloween, the thing to do is to stay the hand of the executioner by the blood of Jesus Christ and ask for God to put vengeance upon their head. I think I said it about right, didn't I, Joe?
I think so.
And pray yourself, folks, continuously. Halloween, tomorrow. With that said, I want to thank you, Joe, Professor Joe. You have a good day.